What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Soul Therapy, the podcast. My name is Daniel.
Daytona.
Today, we'll be talking about the infamous beef saga between Highlight Records and their former artists such as Keith Ape and Be Free. As usual, if you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast on all streaming platforms. Don't forget to give us that 5-star rating. Also, for more content, please go and follow our socials at soul_therapy. And also, please support a page on Patreon at patreon.com/soul_therapy. This is like one of the most infamous diss battles, not even a battle, but it's like a saga between, you know, Highlight Records.
It's like, it's not just dissing. It's more like beef. Beef with money involved, beef with business involved, beef with personal shit involved. Like, it's basically like the Gossip Girl shit of K-pop or something. Like, no one knows what happened. No one knows exactly what happened because all we got to hear was Paolo's side, right? Because he actually made an entire video about it. But the opposition decided not to make anything because that's usually how the cohort works. They don't do anything. They don't put out albums. They barely put out features. They don't do anything. Except a lot of... you know what? Disclaimer here. The factual Daytona that you usually get is gone for this episode. Okay. It's all speculation Daytona here. Because no one knows what happened except themselves. Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I doubt even they know amongst each other what fucking happened. It's all such a cesspool of bad business, very unbalanced contracts or fair contracts, according to which side is talking here. And a lot of speculation about fentanyl drugs, too. So it's like this entire bullshit going on, and there's always a story of backstabbing and a lot of today's friend was tomorrow's enemy and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So it's a fucking mess. So you have to stick with me, and you have to also acknowledge that this is pure drama centered, and I don't have any confirmation whatsoever if any of what stuff that I'm going to say today is true. So let's ride with this. How does it all fucking start? First of all, the cohort is not entirely signed to Highlight Records. And I'm not talking, of course they're not signed now. I'm talking about when they actually began. The Orca tape was definitely put out by Highlight Records, but the cohort in general is not entirely signed by Highlight Records. Only Reddy, Occasion, and Keith Ape
was signed. Was it kind of like a sub-label in a way?
No, not a sub-label. It's just like, you know how ASAP Mob works? Right. Like ASAP Rocky is signed to RCA Records, but that doesn't mean the entire ASAP Mob is signed under RCA Records. Like, it's like that kind of deal. But instead of ASAP Rocky, it's three rappers. And Be Free wasn't even part of Highlight Record. Be Free wasn't even part of Cohort then, at that time. Now, what happens is they put out the Orca tape. They put out Occasion's Tapsong Suzuk album. They put out Keith Ape, who was called Kid Ash at the time, with G2 Brainwash, Project Brainwash, and everything. And we've got a lot of great records. Like, all of these records are at least regarded as cult classics in the Korean hip-hop scene right now. Like, they really changed the landscape of trap music and how people approach music. And it was a great period for Highlight Records. Then you had Be Free's catalog, which was obviously fucking amazing. The High Life compilation, which was executive produced basically by Be Free, which was a killer album too. Palo Alto dropping all these records, getting better and better and better. And all of it was good. Now, things start to happen, though. Show Me the Money 4 happens. And Be Free gets into this whole mess with Sunny, and he dissed BTS around this time period. Highlight gets a lot of flack for this. And, like, especially Highlight had that kind of fuck Show Me the Money kind of stance. And then why are they coming out and Show Me the Money 4 after dissing it? And blah, 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 blah. A lot of shit going on. And, like, the whole My Team beef with Sunny, which I will side with Be Free on this, but that's probably going to be the last time I'm going to side with Be Free anyway. And all of this shit going on, there's too much noise going on, and this is speculation here. The cohort, especially Occasion, had problems with regarding marijuana charges, I think, at around this point. I think B-Free had a little bit caught up with that too. It was because Occasion had all this visa problems and, you know, criminal records are not great on visas and stuff like that when you're trying to get a visa and stuff. So what happens is Occasion's albums keeps getting delayed because of these visa problems. So Occasion decides, you know what? I'm going to step out of Highlight Records. What was officially said was Occasion said, this isn't exactly the record for me. It wasn't like Beef at this point. But problem happens when B-Free and Palo Alto. B-Free tried to get out of Highlight Records as well because he thought that his musical direction is changing and he wanted a maximum freedom as an artist.
Okay.
Regarding dissing someone and regarding trying to, like, I think a lot of musical decisions that's not exactly musical, you know what I mean? Like dissing people and stuff like that. Paulo was trying to keep him on it, like keep him at bay, because there was just too much flack coming to Highlight Records and B-Free didn't agree with that shit and stuff So I think...
Didn't B-Free's contract already was going to end regardless because of...
Yeah, it was a problem of like renewing that contract, I think. And B-Free said, you know what? No, none of this shit. No, I don't think it was bad necessarily, because even after B-Free came out of that, like came out of that contract, came out of Highlight Records, Paulo still featured on a lot of his songs after that, right? So I don't think the breakup itself was necessarily problematic. It wasn't exactly amicable, but it wasn't to the point where it was like, fuck everybody kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was all good. Now, problem happens here. First of all, Reddy, who's in Highlight Records right now, who was also a member of the cohort, decided to leave the cohort around the season 5 of Show Me the Money, I think.
Oh, interesting.
Because he had personal problems with the crew. The cohort crew isn't exactly made up of poor people. They are they're basically like very privileged background people, you know what I mean? Except for B-Free. Now, this kind of... But Reddy's not that kind of guy. Reddy was had a much lower working class kind of background, which made him kind of not really melting in with the whole crew thing. They had a different lifestyle.
Like an outcast?
You know what I mean? Yeah, he was kind of outcasted and stuff in a way, like naturally in a sense, because when other people were making music, he had to go work and stuff like that, you know? This is actually referenced in Reddy's album. There's a song called 수면 위, which is basically his entire feelings about this whole beef regarding him and cohort.
Interesting.
Right? So because of that kind of problem, Reddy left cohort but stayed with Highlight, and B-Free and Occasion left, right? Keith Ape also left Highlight Records because Highlight Records didn't feel like it could support Keith Ape well enough, because Keith Ape was going on another level at that time with 88 Rising and the whole Ichima hit, and Highlight just didn't have the enough infrastructure to support Keith Ape's movement in the United States. So Keith Ape effectively said they're parting ways as well. At this point, you see that except Reddy, everyone is out of Highlight Records, right? The chronological order might not be right, but this all happened in the same similar time period. It doesn't matter that much. But so B-Free left, Occasion left, and Keith Ape left, except Reddy. And Reddy's not a part of cohort anymore. And B-Free was not a part of cohort here, but he decided to join after he left Highlight Records. Now, this is when things become problematic. In a fan Q&A, I think, during IG, on Instagram, I think, B-Free suddenly comes out and says, don't listen to records like Korean Dream or anything else that came before. Korean Dream was the last record that came out in B-Free's duration of Highlight Records. And the reason he said it was because he said, Highlight is not paying me.
What the heck?
Like, this becomes very weird here. Palo Alto made an entire, I think... 30-minute long video about this. I think
I remember that too.
Yeah. First of all, B-Free didn't own his masters.
Mm.
That's the problem. Like, no, another big problem is B-Free signed the contract himself. Which is really fucking weird and stupid. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, normally I would take the side of B-Free. You know what I mean? But this wasn't like, Highlight wasn't a big record label at the time.
Yeah, it was
either,
a very
right?
small label.
Like, yeah, B-Free started basically, was the almost a founding member of Highlight. And Paulo actually knew this, so he kind of gave him a bonus kind of thing. So because when you like get out of your contract, usually from that point on, you don't get paid for your masters immediately. But Paulo decided to pay him all the streaming service revenue and stuff for 2 more extra years.
Oh, wow.
As a kind of a good farewell. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, and basically, like, what Paulo did was give out the standard contract, too. Like, this is standard contract in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So, while if it was any other artist, if it was a normal situation, I would say, fuck Palo Alto.
Right.
Because I think every artist should own their own masters. But the problem is B-Free sold it away himself. So, like, I mean, he gave it up. Like, he gave up
basically
his rights.
Put
it wasn't
in
like
that
some
position.
Manager signed. Yeah, it wasn't like some manager signed it instead of him. There was an IG post that tracked it back like 7 years or something.
Wow.
And where B-Free actually has a picture of himself signing the contract.
Jeez.
So it's like, dude, you signed it, you know? So, but at the end of the day, it is true that artists should own their masters, right? I mean, that's how that's how it's gonna go from now on. That should be how it
exactly.
is. You have to own your mode of production, especially when it comes to art. So, B-Free and Palo Alto don't exactly patch things up because this was when they really got bad with each other. Like, because if you think about Palo Alto, like, B-Free really mucked a lot of shit up.
Mm.
Like, he dissed people that he couldn't actually take responsibility for. You know what I mean? Like, he did drugs. He had a lot of problems, like, within Highlight Records. Like, this is only an allegation of Palo Alto. I'm not going to say if it's factual or not, but when he made the collaboration album Green Club with Sway D, like, B-Free really was mentally abusive towards Sway D and stuff like that. Like, this is Palo Alto's kind of allegation, but still.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, it wasn't exactly like B-Free was the kindest person on earth. He was a jackass. Mm. So, Paulo, if we're talking about the perspective of Paulo, it's like, I took up with all your shit and all you can say to me now. And I even let you go, even though there were 2 years left on the contract and stuff like that. But now you decide to repay me like this. This is what I get, bitch, is basically what Paulo Alto was saying.
Oh, yeah.
Now, granted, as I was just saying, you need to make sure that the artist still has, like, ownership because it's bullshit at the end of the day.
Of course, yeah.
If the artist doesn't own their own masters. So what happened was B-Free and Palo Alto met up and decided that, you know what, I don't give a shit about you. You don't give a shit about me. But to make this fair, I'll just make sure that from an infinite period of time now on, you can get your share of streaming services and album revenue when it comes to old Highlight Records.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that's solved. But during this process, because B-Free is part of Cohort and Occasion had some like visa problems and stuff like that, like the old shit all dug up into something bad. Like, Brian Chase, I think, who was part of Cohort, like, burned Highlight notebook merch and stuff like that.
Dang.
On IG. Keith Apes said, fuck Paulo and all that shit. And it went whole Ari. Now, this is where it gets worse.
Oh, my goodness.
Believe it or not, it gets worse from here. Because Keith Apes, obviously, what happens to Cohort after that is that nothing happens.
Right.
Like, literally nothing happened. They didn't put out anything. They're not making any music. All they're on IG, drunk as fuck, high as fuck. They're obviously doing drugs. A lot of people, you know, we had a very big fentanyl scare.
Yeah.
like a few months ago. This is speculation, but a lot of people are saying that Cohort is a very big part of it. And obviously, I can really see where they're coming from because they look high out of their mind usually when it comes to IG stuff. That's why they're not being able to put out work and stuff. Like, ever since they went to the States for when Ichima blow up, I think they tried something they shouldn't have done over there and came back in Korea. And then Keith Ape had this whole debacle with B-Free because B-Free didn't pay for Keith Ape's features.
Oh my goodness. So it's like Keith Ape had a diss but too? There's... Oh my goodness.
Yeah, wow. Keith Ape is dissing B-Free. They're not on good terms. Like, B-Free left Cohort because of this. Now, granted, I think this is one of those cases where B-Free actually deserves to be defended because Keith Ape was not in his mind. Yeah. Like, Keith Ape currently is... I think he went on rehab very recently. Like, this was, like, 2019 or 20... When did Free the Beast come out, the album?
I think it was...
Was it 2020 or...
I think it was last year.
Yeah, 2020. Keith Ape was high out of his mind. Same with Occasion. And Keith Ape had this whole bullshit going on with fentanyl, I think. It's a speculation. That's what B-Free was saying. Like, even in the Free the Beast album, he's dissing fentanyl rappers left and right. It says a lot about fentanyl. Yeah. Like, even if a guy like B-Free is dissing you for doing that kind of drug, you really need to reevaluate yourself. Don't do fentanyl. Fentanyl, there's nothing good coming out of doing fentanyl. Bro, it's
dangerous.
This is not marijuana. This is not even cocaine. Fentanyl will ruin your fucking life. Don't do it. Now, and... But the problem is, like, B-Free is saying, like, but I basically gave you all the money for you to work on your album. I gave you studio fees. I fed you, motherfucker, was basically what B-Free is saying.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the entire, like, Cohort is not in a very right state of mind right now, especially, like, Keith Ape having domestic abuse allegations with Sachki and stuff like that. He had a knife fight with his girlfriend.
What the heck?
He didn't beat him up. He had a knife fight with... And this is factual. Like, he had a knife fight with his girlfriend.
What's wrong with him?
And there's even talk... And there's even talk about whether Satsuki was pregnant at the time or not and stuff like that. And it was, like, so fucking horrible. And it actually made B-Free kind of look better in comparison. Like, that's how bad the situation was. So... Like, and ever since, like, and then Palo Alto, I think some fan of Palo Alto asked him on IG Q&A sessions, and it was like, are you still in touch with Keith Ape? And Palo Alto said, fuck that motherfucker. He probably can't do even drugs because he's in the military and stuff like that.
Wow.
So, this is a really big mess. Like, this is some I don't even see this kind of shit in the United States scene. It's so fucking out of my mind. There's domestic abuse, there's drug abuse, there's bad contracts. Like, everything that could go wrong went wrong with the Cohort. Yeah. You know what I mean? And all of this is speculation because no one knows for sure.
Mm.
Okay? Now, with all of this in mind, you can see why Highlight Records don't want to be associated with Cohort anymore.
Be surprised.
Yeah. And B-Free has his own, like, new wave records going on, and they're making new music with a new crew and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, all I want to say here is that, first of all, don't do drugs.
Of course.
Please. Yeah, don't do drugs. Please. Yeah, don't do fentanyl, especially there's a lot of talk around fentanyl in Korean hip-hop scene right now because, like, they're feeding that shit to teenagers and hooking them up, and it's like fucking horrible. Like, I was so disappointed with the Korean hip-hop scene because of that, and don't do it. Just don't fucking do it. Second, again, this is all speculation. This is what people are... This is basically word on the street is kind of episode today. So don't assume that everything I said is right. About 60 to 70% of what I said was factual today. But obviously, when it comes to the worst parts, it's very speculatory because they obviously wouldn't have made an official statement regarding this, right? Because it's all the bad shit going on. Now, Which leads us as Korean hip hop fans to make a judgment on one thing only, and one thing, that's music.
All right.
Highlight Records are doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. New Wave Records, which is B-Free's label, like he made his mm-hmm. own label, is honestly doing great. Like, they're doing their respective music and they're doing great. I don't agree with a lot of the lyrics that are coming out of the New Wave Records and stuff like that, but they're saying they're Memphis-based. Like, there is the Korean version of Memphis hip-hop, so, I mean, what do you kind of expect at this point? It's still bad lyrics, but you kind of know what you're getting going in. So, if you're not up for that very hyper-violent or very questionable lyrics, I suggest you don't listen to it. But if you know what you're getting into and you like Memphis hip hop and stuff like that, go listen to it. They make great music. Highlight is more focused on the alternative side of things. And Palo Alto is not a CEO anymore, by the way. But Highlight Records is trying to sign a lot of R&B artists in as well. So if you're looking for safer but kind of wonky music still, like, go for their music. Now, that leaves us the Cohort.
Oh, boy.
They aren't putting out anything. No. The one thing they put out was Keith Ape's album, which is an homage to Baldur, that video game, that horror video game. Yeah, it was horrible. I can guarantee you that I listened to one of the most... And this is kind of a weird flex, but... I kind of think myself as not trying to discriminate genres. Mm-hmm. Like, I listen to a lot of music across all spectrums as widely as possible. I try to do that. Which means I'm very... one of my favorite... Like, I have a very strong affinity toward heavy music. Like, even the most weirdest black metal and shit like that, you know? And even by those standards, what Keith Ape has made really rubbed me the wrong way. Like, when it comes to heaviness, when it comes to modern heaviness, when it comes to making abrasive music, there's still a kind of grammar to it. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not just all noise and shouting over beats and it's over. But that's kind of what he did.
Yeah.
It's noise rap, but not good. It's like Suicide Boys or City Morgue done in the wrong way kind of thing. I didn't like that entire album except one song. I think, like, he used to be so good.
Yeah.
Like, Keith Ape. Seriously, like, he used to make great singles, but I don't know if it's the speculative drugs, or I don't know if it's just a very bad mental condition, or he just ran out of creative juice or something, but this wasn't it. Like, it was all noise, no nothing. So... And being the Cohort, like, Cohort was a very influential group in Korean hip-hop. Not just because of their fan base or anything, but they really changed up a lot of shit when it happened. Like, the first and only, I guess. Oh, no, actually, there are two compilations. And I like both of them. The first compilation called Orchid
Tape. That one was good.
And there's a second compilation called Disconnect, which was on SoundCloud Mixtape, which is great as well. And Occasion's first album, like, Kid Ash G2 collaboration project after, like, before Kid Ash became Keith Ape. Like, they all have their own influences bleeding into the Korean hip-hop scene right now. Like, there's a reason why E-Sen said 80% of Korean rappers are influenced by Occasion.
Interesting.
They're that influential. Wow. Like, without the Cohort, like, Korean hip-hop would have looked very different.
That's true, yeah. That is true.
But at this point, they're kind of a husk of what they had been back in the days.
Yeah.
Like, they used to put out the most boundary-pushing, experimental, or at least some kind of fresh take on trap music and cloud rap.
No doubt.
They really used to do that. They really used to put things forward. Like, you had a period in time when you were just... during the first days of 88 Rising, there was a project called The Last Orchid.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a full album, but Cohort being Cohort, it never materialized. There's still the music videos up there, but there was a time and period when you would be anticipating when the next Last Orca single will come out because it was so fucking good. Then nothing happened. Like, they kind of
disappeared,
vaporized. Yeah. Like, they're gone. Like, you can see occasions from time to time. Keith A came back with an album before that, but before that, he was basically AWOL from the scene. Mm-hmm. J All Day never put out actual music.
No.
And there's Coke Jazz in the cohort, but he's basically, he said it himself that he has no connections with them. He's just in there by name, a name only. Coke Jazz puts out amazing music, by the way.
Yeah, he's a good artist.
So it's like, yeah, he's a great artist. The only person Coke Jazz has any kind of connection now is B-Free, because Coke Jazz and B-Free are a very well-made collaborative spirit kind of thing. They always collaborate and they always put out green music together. And B-Free's out of the cohort now, right? Because of his beef with Keith Ape. So basically, like, Coke Jazz, the producer, is only cohort by name. Like, he doesn't even talk with the other members. Interesting. So who cares about that? Which leaves us with the question, what the fuck is the cohort doing?
True, yeah.
Like, Occasion only teases snippets on IG. Like, for, like, when was... For nearly 10 years now, almost a decade has passed.
Yeah.
Since his last album.
It's been a long time.
And he
time.
Doesn't even call it his first album. So basically, like, according to his standards, that means he doesn't even have a major debut studio album. It's like, then what are you doing for all these years? Like, where are you? Like, why are you not putting out any music and expecting for people to, like, put you on a pedestal? Like, you have to put out work.
Exactly.
Right? You were gone for 10 years. You had some features, great features too, but that's not enough, right?
Of course.
You need a fucking album. Like, where is that shit? Then we're not getting cohort albums anymore because Reddy is not in there. B-Free is not in there, which basically means all we are left with is Keith Ape and Occasion and J All Day. But J All Day isn't exactly a rapper position either, right? He's more like the ASAP Yams kind of character. And then Occasion, which he's somewhat, if you listen to his features, he's not that terrible, but, you know, he still has talent. But then you have Keith Ape, who's kind of fallen off musically. Yeah. So I have nothing to expect of this crew anymore. Like,
it's a, like, wasted potential.
It's like watching Fetty Wap or...
Oy.
I actually liked Fetty Wap a lot, like, back in the days. Like, I know a lot of people will probably think, like, it was stupid music. But you have to admit, like, looking back, it was influential.
It was, yeah.
Like, the if you look at stuff like Young Thug, or if you look at stuff like Gunna or Lil Baby, it will be hard to say that, like, singles like Trap Queen didn't influence them, right? But no one cares about Fetty Wap anymore. No one, like, it has been a generation switch to the point where there are some people, especially really young people, who don't even know who Fetty Wap was.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I never imagined the cohort would be like Fetty Wap, because Fetty Wap was very commercialized.
Yeah, very commercial.
He had a fresh style, but he had a very commercial style. That's not the case of the cohort. Like, the cohort really put out boundary-pushing stuff. And I just can't believe that kind of, not my heroes, but at least pioneers that I really looked up to that will, like, shine a path for newer generations or Korean hip-hop in general would become like this.
Right.
Like, they're fucking gone at this point. And there's so many better alternatives. Shit, like, I prefer GGM records over this. You know what I mean? Like, I prefer, not the homies, I'm not a big fan of the homies. Fuck, like, people like Aureal Goat or Mac Daddy make better music than this.
Like, 100 times better.
Way better music than what they're putting out right now. Yeah, so it's like, I just end up bumping the Last Orcas and their compilation albums, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, it's...
Like, even the Last Orca singles, like, I had to, like, extract that shit from YouTube.
Oh, wow.
And give it a cover art and stuff like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't even put it out on streaming services. Like, who's managing you? Is there anyone that's actually managing you? And if you really want to remain independent, shouldn't you be like really working hard or something?
True, good question.
I mean, granted, I'm all for like what do you call it? Taking your time.
Oh yeah.
But 10 years is overboard. So much shit has happened. Mm-hmm. Like there were a lot of cohort fans during all around me, like, you know.
Of course.
Like, and like even you have past cohort members that are like, let me look it up a little real quick here. Yeah. Brian Chase is gone too. Mm-hmm. Like there was a lot of Brian Chase fans, but they're gone. Jeremy Quest was actually under B Free and got into cohort, but he's not doing anything mm-hmm. either. Jimmy Page was actually a part of cohort.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and he actually had beef with Occasion.
Oh jeez.
Which led him to get out of cohort. They patched things up, but he's not back in cohort mm-hmm. either. And while Jimmy Page is not exactly making the most music in the world, it's still more than Occasion or any of the cohort members.
No doubt, for sure.
Yeah. Like, and he's a good rapper. Like, I really look forward to what he's going to make from now mm-hmm. on. And it's like, everyone who left you is doing better than you.
Yeah, that's facts. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, with all the problems that B-Free has, he's considered one of the greatest artists that Korean hip-hop ever had.
That's fact, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, he's our Kanye West. Like, he's regarded as a fucking genius, and I kind of agree with that. No one can do what B-Free can do. Like, he's still pushing boundaries, like, 10 years into his career, almost.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and what is the cohort doing? Like, y'all people, like, really revolutionized Korean hip-hop in the early 2010s, and it's just so, I can't imagine what would do this to you, except, of course, the obvious speculation of fentanyl.
Mm.
And if it truly is fentanyl, it's a very great advertisement for anti-fentanyl, like, anti-fentanyl messages. You literally had the potential to eat the whole scene alive. And if fentanyl did this to you, there's nothing I could say.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like your family's, like, if at least according to Reddy,
mm-hmm.
it's not like y'all motherfuckers were, like, starving or anything. Like, J All Day's family has a fucking entire arcade
Jeez.
In Gangnam.
Dang.
You know that Gangnam Style yeah. song? Yeah. Like, he has a fucking arcade building in Gangnam. Wow. In Gangnam Station. That's how much fuck ton of money he has. Like, where are you using that money?
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to fashion, too, like, fashion, like, the drip level, mm-hmm. like, the whole swagger, the whole music, the way they're marketing shit, like, they were so fucking ahead of the curve. And if drugs truly did this to you, I would seriously, like, feel so bummed.
Mm-hmm.
The future of Korean hip-hop gets ruined by fentanyl.
Yeah.
That's so fucking lame. I'm not saying, again, this is just speculatory. This is...
Of course, yeah.
This is basically word on the street and what B-Free said about them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's tons of references of fentanyl, the cohort taking fentanyl in Free the Beast album.
Oy.
It's like, what is this? Why? Like, why would you... Like, people will kill for the talent you have.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And at this point, it's a fucking crime
mm-hmm.
to, like, let all of that talent go to waste. People will kill for that shit, and this is how you use it?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know, like, the Keith Ape album really rubbed me the wrong way.
Mm.
Like, this? Really? Like, this is the culmination of how many years worth of hype? Like,
yeah.
Fuck, 5, 6 or something, right? When was Ichima and the whole singles coming
Ichima
out thing?
Ichima was probably 2015 or 16. It was around, yeah.
And the Born Again EP, which was 2018. Mm-hmm. Born Again, granted, wasn't that bad. It wasn't exactly, it didn't exactly deliver on the hype, but it's not a bad mm-hmm. album. It's a decent yeah. album, I guess. Which means that this new album was 3 years worth of hype, mm-hmm. right? And this was actually a studio album. Born Again was an EP.
Mm.
And Born Again was way better than this. Like, way better than this.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, this was the guy who was supposed to make a collaborative EP with Playboi Carti, of all people.
Wow.
There was actual hype around this. I think there was like a double XL feature saying that they're going to make music together.
Oh, I remember
like,
that.
Like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
All right, this is purely speculatory again. You remember when Famous Dex...
Oh, yeah.
...really, like, rocked with Keith M and stuff? And, you know, you saw what happened to Famous Dex, mm-hmm. right? Like, he had these whacked out pictures coming out and saying he's going to rehab or something.
Oh, yeah.
You remember mm-hmm. that, right? He looked really bad in those pictures. I think that kind of caught up with Keith Ape as well. I think that was the moment where it all fell apart. This is speculation, again. I have to keep saying it so I don't get sued or something. Yeah. So it's like, going to the States was supposed to make you grow as a person. It was supposed to make you push your music to the next level. But it made you regress so bad.
Ugh.
This wasn't supposed to be your ending. This wasn't supposed to be what our greatest success was supposed to be. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Ichimo was a crazy moment for Korean fans.
That was
fans.
A mega like, hit, dude.
Holy shit. We can fucking do it. Maybe we can do this shit. Look at Keith Abe. And look what we got instead. Mm-hmm. We got a domestic abuser who's high out of his mm-hmm. mind and lost touch with what good music is. This is such a fucking bummer for me, you know?
Yeah, it's a tragedy.
Like, if you cannot maintain the crown, if you cannot sustain yourself to, like, keep your place in the throne, mm-hmm. don't even try to get it in the first place. Like, build up your foundation first. Like, build up as an artist first. One hype single goes so far, no matter how big it is. And that isn't enough to make you go drunk on power or think you're this big shot that everyone has to, like, uphold anymore. Yeah. You have to remember where it came from. You have to remember the people that helped you along the way. You have to remember the fans that actually, you know, really wanted you to succeed. Like, the fans who bought your albums and stuff like that,
no
you
doubt.
Know?
Yeah.
You don't forget all of them and do drugs and then shit on them afterwards, after all they have done for you. Like, look, I have my own personal reservations about Palo Alto. Mm-hmm. This is purely personal. There's sometimes he kind of rubs me the wrong way when he gets really defensive. But it's still incomparable to what these motherfuckers were doing.
Yeah.
At least Be Free had the decency to kind of actually work on his music and try to, and finding new crews to bolster his musical evolution.
That's true. Yeah.
And he's seeing some sort of success right now. It took a long way because he dissed the wrong people and had made the wrong connections mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But at least with all his problematic shit, he's doing his base job and duty as an artist, which is to keep evolving, or at least if you're not evolving, keep out putting out great music. You know what I mean? Like, this is such a shame because a lot of my favorite American rappers, like, don't necessarily even evolve. They just stick to their style, and they keep being underground, but they consistently put out the work ethics so that their image is maintained and they gain a cult following.
Exactly.
Like rappers like Mac Homie, rappers like Griselda, mm-hmm. rappers like Ka, mm-hmm. rappers like rest in peace MF Doom.
Yeah.
Like Doom. Like, you don't, this in this constant everlasting kind of skewered and very regrettable pursuit of worldwide fandom and worldwide stardom.
Mm-hmm.
You forget what's important.
That's true.
Don't do that. That's I know it sounds cliche as
but
fuck,
it's true.
But that is literally the definition of selling your soul. Like, you don't have to be big. You have to be consistent first.
Exactly.
If you're not consistent, none of it fucking matters. It's not like you're going to put that money into a savings account or anything, mm-hmm. right? I literally never seen a rapper who is a one-hit wonder put all of that money to a savings account and become big for something else. Like, even fucking 50 Cent. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Granted, he has only one good album, in my opinion. Get Rich or Die Trying. The rest is fucking trash. But look what he did with after that shit. I mean, granted, he still sold out his singles and stuff, and The Massacre isn't exactly that terrible of an album. But still, like, he went somewhere when he musically fell off.
He's a businessman. Right?
Yeah, but the reason he could have done that is because he keeps his fan base fed.
Yeah.
He never stopped exactly making music, right? But this is just like disappearing off the face of the earth for 10 years and expecting everyone to still love you is stupid. It's just plain stupidity. And that is exactly what's happening with the cohort. Like, being perfectionist is fine. Seriously, it's fine.
No doubt.
But I'm really, really doubting if this perfectionist thing is the thing that is keeping the cohort backwards. I don't think it's perfectionism. I think it's entirely something else.
I think it's ego.
And it's such a shame to watch this. Like, there's so many rappers that shout out Occasion.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
A lot.
Like, their music, like, Occasion's first album especially is godly amongst the holy pantheon of Korean classics.
It is, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, like, that shit is like our Live Love ASAP or something. Like, that changed so many things. And every time I listen to that album, it's like, damn.
What happened?
You can still make an album like this and still fuck up your career.
Yeah.
Like, you really don't know, like, what can happen in life. All sorts of bullshit happens. And it's just bad.
Yeah, it's a shame. Like, to me, it's like one little thing can cause so much destruction. You know what I mean? Like a chain reaction to the point where you don't know what you're doing with your life. And that's what I saw with the cohort crew, you know, like like you said, the fame is really
got
messing
to them.
With their minds. And especially with Keith 8, man, like the dude was such a good rapper. I remember when Ichimai came out, like that was literally like the talk of the town. Like that song was like,
yeah, like everything was right. The drip,
yeah, dude.
Like the makgeolli in his hands. And the whole aesthetic in the hotel room.
Yeah, like, man.
That kind of a little bit of a cyberpunky kind of image. It was not, like, it wasn't exactly, like, gun-toting gangster shit. But you know, it still showed that you can be hard and stuff like that. And what the fuck happened? Like, people who blew up around that period went up to become great musicians. Rich Brian. Yeah. Like, that Rich Chigga shit was around that time as well, right? Maybe a year or a half later, I guess, or something. Look where he is. He's literally not able to keep up with a fucking teenager. Like, Rich Brian was like 18 or something when that thing dropped.
Maybe a year younger. Maybe 1 year younger.
Yeah, and Keith Ape is like, how old is he right now?
Almost in his 30s, maybe.
He's 27 this year. What is it?
Rich Brian.
Yeah, how old is Rich Brian?
He is 22.
See? There's a 5-year, that's half a decade. Yeah. You know what I mean? Granted, Keith Ape is still signed to 88 Rising. So maybe they'll pull him up to his knees or something.
Hopefully.
But at that point, I'm really kind of like, does he really deserve it? Like, stuff like that.
I think as an artist, you always have a chance to make a redemption, even though there are so many mistakes that you made. But as I feel like
mistakes is not the right word.
No, but what I'm saying is like there comes a point in time where you have to be serious about things. And I think Keith Ape, what he was doing was, again, like fame has really got to him to the point where it's like, okay, you know what? I can just do whatever I want. And I think he started abusing that and look where he's at now, you know, like you mentioned with Be Free and like other artists, like they're doing like, well, you know, Be Free has, you know, to me, he's still like,
he has an entire army of Memphis rappers behind him right now.
But
like not actual Memphis rappers, but you know,
like there's a fan base and like he's being successful and he's slowly, I would say, made a turnaround, even though he's, you know, done so many problematic things in the past.
Yeah, it's more like he never made a turnaround. It's more like he's doing like he always did, being problematic as fuck, but still putting out great music. So people are kind of addicted to him.
I think that's one of the issues that I maybe still have. Just like, man, how does one individual become this problematic and still become like successful and make like really good music? Like, I just wish that,
hey, look, there's a motherfucker who sold his soul and trampled people in the States these days. You know who I'm talking about, my listeners. You know who I'm talking about.
And I think,
you know, the war.
And I think this whole, you know, saga that happened between, you know, Highlight Records and the Cohort crew, I think,
It gives you a lesson.
It truly does. It opens your eyes a lot more, because things like this can escalate in a second. You just don't know it because everything's behind the scenes, and like there's so many details that I didn't know about. Even though most of the things are speculation, but still, the fact that I never got to hear about this much more information just made me realize, like, wow, this industry, this whole music industry is just so intimidating, you know, because
yeah, it really is.
One little thing can become a destruction. You know, it's like a recipe for disaster if you don't go in the right lane or choose the right spots or, you know, approach, you know, business the way it's supposed to be, you know, and it's just a wasted potential. Like, Cohort crew could have been something special. And like you said, like drugs and just mental health and not taking care of one another, not holding each other accountable. It's all of those things pile up and go into effect. And it's to the point where I always keep reminding myself, it's like, man, like,
look at the, like, with looking at what Cohort happened, you know, it's like, it really made me change as a person as well, in a way.
Yeah, for sure. Because
like in my late teenage years, and yeah, I think late teenage years would be like when I was like 18, 19, I used to think like a very white frat boy.
I hear you. Yeah.
Wow, they're doing drugs and shit like that. And I look at the Cohort and it's like, see, you gotta do drugs to make good music and stuff like that. I was stupid. And it was basically like the Tentacion fan, I guess. Tentacion stand kind of thing. Like, oh, they're an artist. Like, why are they saying shit about people making art? And then a lot of time has passed since then, and going through college and stuff like that. And seeing Cohort now, it's like I reflect on how stupid I was as well, in a sense.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like,
I agree.
Like, I used to think like doing drugs is cool, like that's real, like, revolutionary, rebellious kind of thing. No, it's not. It's just being fucking stupid. It's not like they were Sandinistas or something. It was like, they were just privileged fuckboys. You know what I mean? And maybe they'll shit on me if they hear this podcast, which I doubt they will. But that's basically what they are now. They are rich fuckboys. They're privileged fuckboys. And, like, again, like, just maybe it's because I listen to this guy a lot of the times, but I really like, there's an American rapper called Ka that's based in Brooklyn. Dude is like 50 years old, and he makes one of the most well-rounded, like, really dark East Coast music these days. Like, he always did, but anyway, the dude is a firefighter.
Yeah.
Dude is putting out his life for his community every fucking day. Know what I mean? Now I realize, like, that is the dope shit. Not this rock star shit that is happening around the world.
Exactly.
Like, not this, like, getting bitches, like, doing a lot of drugs, getting a fuck ton of money, beating up fans who allegedly stole your shoes in concerts. Again, you know what I'm talking about here? And I used to glorify that shit. I used to think that shit was the cool shit. Like, but as I'm not even old, like I'm not even finished with college yet. And this really short span of like half a decade has, and the tomfoolery, I guess, that these people are going through really made me wonder, like, man, this is all shit. This is, like people go like I've like people seen like people like Kanye go insane and stuff like that. It's really like, damn, it really isn't worth this shit. Like this whole rockstar shit needs to go. Like this is so stupid. Like who cares? Who cares if you get bitches? Who cares if you get money? When at the end of the day, you become a fucking ugly version of yourself that no one anticipated.
No doubt. Yeah.
Like, yeah, and it's like there is a reason why rappers like Ka or like fuck even like MF Doom before he passed or like there is a reason why people should mature. Like remaining the fuckboy forever is such a wrong take when it comes to making art or becoming a fan.
No doubt, yeah. You know?
Because at the end of the day, what the rockstar persona is basically being a fuckboy who got lucky enough to have millions of dollars.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, do you really want that version of yourself to be everything? Like, even fucking Jay-Z matured at the end.
Yeah.
You know? That 444 album.
No doubt.
Like, even people like Verbal Jint in Korean hip-hop, he used to, like, diss everyone. And now he's making matured-out music, and honestly, he's doing much better.
Yeah.
And in VJ's case, because he has a drunk driving, you know.
Yeah, I remember that. Past,
it even soars as, that's how you redeem yourself. You constantly put out singles that where you're making aware that you didn't forget what you have done and exactly. stuff like that. What ends up being the rock star is that you become so obsessed with becoming the man, becoming the, that is toxic masculinity here. Like you get so obsessed with not having any kind of flaw that you need to be the untouchable, like kingpin or something. It makes you blind to your own faults. It makes you blind to what you're doing to the people around you. It makes you blind to where your life is heading.
Yeah.
Where are you going to be like 15 to 20 years down the road? And all the money in the world is not going to solve that.
Yeah.
All the fame you have, all the glory, I guess, in a sense, that you're getting is not going to make it enough. Because one day, you're going to fall. That's a given.
Yeah.
You're gonna fall someday. Like it might be tomorrow, it might be 5 years from now, it might be fucking 20 years from now, but no one, literally no fucking one, stays on that upward trajectory.
Facts.
It, like the Weibermensch is a fucking lie. That shit doesn't exist. No. And when you fall, if you have risen fast, you fall fast. The higher you have risen, the more you will fall, and the more that fall will hurt.
Yeah.
So what you do instead is on your way to the rise, it might be slower, it might be more frustrating, but you keep other people's like integrity. You keep your integrity, you raise a lot of people along up with you, so when you begin to fall, those people are there to catch you. You know what I mean? So that at the end of the day, you might be slower, but in the end, you will not have fallen that much and overall have a way more consistent and less eventful life so that you can make great music out constantly for your fans and for, like for your artistic integrity period. So this rock star shit that we are so infatuated with these days, because the cohort really had that kind of persona too. You know what? I'm just going to save it. Like Travis Scott too. And recently like yeah, you know what? Travis Scott is enough. Like that's exactly what I was talking about here.
I hear you.
Like don't like the dude even had a song called Stop Playing Stop Trying to Be God.
Yeah.
Like nihilism will not get you anywhere. And I know I might sound like the Christian evangelical here and sound like a Jordan Peterson proxy or something, but nihilism truly doesn't get you anywhere. This is not a right-wing, left-wing thing. Like, nihilistic, I've seen left-wing, progressive, nihilistic people. They end up very miserable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nihilism is something that shouldn't be idolized.
Facts.
It doesn't get you fucking anywhere. Not because you won't make progress in financial success, but you're killing yourself as you're doing it.
Mm.
Don't do it. Like, why are we putting this shit on a pedestal? Why are we putting people like Kanye West on the pedestal when we have people like Ka? When we have people like fucking Nas? Even although not exactly the opposite, you have people like Jay-Z that are much better examples. Yeah. And yet, the people who make the most money, people who get the most clout, are the people who promote this kind of damaging persona.
Yeah.
You're not going to be Travis Scott. You're not going to be Occasion. You're not going to be that cohort kind of thing, because that is not an exact result of effort. I'm not saying that they didn't put in effort. I'm just saying we all put in the effort. But most of the time, that kind of nihilistic shit is possible because of luck.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
True.
Why do you idolize luck? Luck is random.
Yeah.
Like, don't do this. Please. I'm imploring you. I have been on this podcast numerous times saying that we shouldn't idolize people like this. The reason I'm doing this podcast and the reason why we're talking about music is that we can kind of distance ourselves from it a little bit, at least, so that our entire persona doesn't revolve around celebrities.
Agreed.
And this is another great example, like this whole highlight cohort thing. Don't get drunk on power and fame.
Exactly.
And this applies to you, like the people who are listening to this right now, because you will have instances in your life where it's not as blatant as a celebrity or a rapper. You will have instances in your life in which you get drunk on something.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't. Always think about the people around you. Always try to make the world a better place. Always try to make sure that you remember where you came from and don't forget that. And, you know, just please be a good person.
Yeah.
Like this whole fame over everything, money over everything. No. Don't do it.
For sure.
Now, that was my rant for today.
No, man, it's well said, brother. Amen to that. Seriously. Hopefully, I think, you know, this was actually a really good topic that we revisited, because I think, you know, it really shows us, you know, helps us to learn the life lessons that are given and to really understand what life has to offer. You know, like we all go through struggles, and that's a given fact, and that we should, you know, take those struggles, you know, with a good heart, and to understand that we can conquer that and to turn it into something even more beautiful, you know, in a more organic way. And so I think this is a topic that really helps us to be humble and to just, you know, understand that, you know, life doesn't go everything the way we planned it to be. You know, it's we just got to stay disciplined, kind of just be our best version ourselves, you know, and to stay authentic. And so,
yep.
Yeah, as we slowly begin to wrap up our show, as usual, any artist or tracks that you're currently listening to and would like to share or recommend to our listeners? I'm going to go with Our Real Goat, and the song is called 죽을 힘을 다하여, and English translation is With All My Might.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this numerous times. I've been saying this so many times about Our Real Goat, but man, I think I just fell in love with his music and his, you know, him as a person. I think he really defines that professional character, not just through his music, but you can see that off the mic. And just this song in general, it really resonates with me, because, you know, I'm sure it's going to resonate with many people if they listen to the song and find the translation, because it really kind of gives you that emotional feel, and the sound as well gives you that emotional feel to it. And Our Real Goat is known to give the audiences like the raw story, like the real personal story about his life and just his come up and his upbringing and stuff. And so this album is actually, is called 죽을 힘을 다하여. So I highly recommend that people check this album out, because it really gives you a life lesson. And I think it helps you understand, you know, what life is really all about. And Our Real Goat's such a classy person, a well-deserving guy. And just, I'm really excited for the future of Korean hip hop, especially with Our Real Goat in the scene. So yeah, go check that out.
Okay. On the topic of being humble, There's a song called The God of Small Things by Luxor.
That's a class. I love that song.
It's a title track from the same album. You know, the album's title is The God of Small Things, and this is the ending track and the title track. I think it's Noxar's first.
It's his first album. Yep.
It came back out in 2016. Mm-hmm. There's bound to be a translation for this. This is a pretty well known song.
Mm-hmm.
It's about really appreciating the small things in life, and yet somehow having the courage to look somewhere bigger. In a sense, it's that kind of. It strikes. It really. It's beautiful poetry, and it balances that really well. So listen to it. It's basically, I guess, signifies what I have been trying to say today.
Mm-hmm.
Always look out for this kind of shit. Again, appreciate the small things in life. Mm. Yeah. Luxor, God of Small Things. I think that would be the recommendation for today.
Well said, man. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but please do comment and let us know what you think of today's topic. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please go and subscribe to our podcast on all platforms, and please give us that 5-star rating. Also, if you want more K-hip-hop contents, go check out Daytona's Instagram at myk_Daytona for K-hip-hop album reviews, and also follow our social media page at soul_therapy. Thank you guys so much, and see you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.